Please be seated. So it's a bit of a serendipity. It doesn't happen very often, only a few times a century, that Easter falls on April Fool's Day. There's actually a long tradition in the church of combining those two things in some way. The Sunday after Easter used to be called Holy Humor Sunday, or I'm not making this up. This is actually true. And also, it was called Risus Paschalis, which is the laughter of Easter. And it got a little out of hand, so a pope finally made them stop doing it. But I thought I would just stand and tell you jokes all day long for Easter. So no, what I'm going to do is try to go back to my eighth grade days of magic. And I'm going to try to do a trick I used to do as a young guy. And so a little Easter April Fool's humor today. So I want to see how well you are awake already. How many dots are on here? One. And how many dots here? And how many dots here? And how many dots here? Now, of course, that is a really easy trick because you could all tell I was just simply hiding that, right? So there's really not one. There are two dots there all the time. And there, I was just hiding the fifth dot there. So there aren't four, there are five dots. Now, how many dots on the other side? Two, right, two. And how many dots on this side? Five, six. Now, some of you are guessing, right, six. So I thought you guys were awake. You told me you were awake. So remember, how many on this side? Three, right? Three on this side. How many on the other side? Six, right? Six, right? So Christians would get together and play jokes and play tricks on each other because they believed that God had played the biggest trick of all. And I've got a couple of cartoons for you from Kyler Black. He's a Canadian artist, and he does this thing, a comic strip that I would say it's called Inherit the Mirth. It's like The Far Side meets Jesus. And so, well, I certainly hope you kept the receipt for those burial spices when they come to the tomb. These take a little thinking. The Roman guard, what do you mean that wasn't you who just said good morning? And this one's my favorite one in the spirit of Risus Paschalis. You see, there was, I'm sorry to those out in the back, they're like screen looking in to try to see that. It says, Jesus got a t-shirt on and says, I'm with stupid, and he's got his arm around the grim reaper. And so Christian theologians for years would interpret the death and resurrection of Jesus as God playing the ultimate practical joke on the devil. That here the devil and the forces of evil had thought they had ended Jesus' life, and then God gets the last laugh, right? God gets the last laugh. Because Jesus is not dead. Jesus is woke. Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, we pray this day that you would be present to us, that you would stir us and wake us up. In the name of Christ, amen. Obviously, I haven't done this stuff since eighth grade, so it's falling down. I'm going to move down here now that I'll feel a little better talking with you. How many of you know this phrase, get woke? Have you heard it at least? Is it a phrase that maybe you've started to hear? It's out there in the culture. It comes to us from the African-American community. It originally comes from the music of the African-American community, from a hip-hop song. And then it's being used to talk about realities in our culture that we may not want to talk about. Hard realities about this economic gap that's still there between whites and blacks in our country, even though we are 50 years removed from the civil rights movement. The economic inequalities have tripled between blacks and whites. It's as recent as that. And I don't have to tell you that it's as recent as Charlottesville and a white supremacist march, right? To know that we still have a long way to go before we get woke. It's as close to us as a shooting out in Sacramento, Stephon Carter. We still have a long way to go. The phrase means wake up to the reality that there are alternate realities out there. It's a sort of an in-your-face kind of phrase that requires a response And not just a response that we nod our heads, but a response that we do something, that we change our lives and we change the structures and the systems. And so it's showing up on websites, and it's showing up on TV shows, and it's showing up in slogans, and it's showing up on T-shirts, and it's showing up on teach-ins and marches. It's even showing up on memes. A pity to po' fool who don't get woke, according to Mr. T. Or it's even showing up in churches. Churches who are jumping on this bandwagon and saying, you know, it's time for us to get woke. To get woke too. Jesus woke. Now, I want to suggest to you that that phrase, even though we think it's a 21st century phrase, really goes all the way back to the resurrection. It was Jesus who instituted the first time of getting woke in a dramatic way, in a way that changed the reality, changed the world, and calls for a response in us. It was Jesus who rocked our world and who has put forth in our face some stuff we've got to deal with. What if it doesn't end with death? What if there is new life in Christ? Now we have Matthew's gospel today before us. And Matthew's gospel is the only one of the four where we have this angel coming to sit on the rock after there's been what? A giant earthquake, right? Things are getting, things are starting to move. The ground is starting to move. With the resurrection of Jesus, powerful things are happening. Peter Gomes, for a long time, the preacher at Memorial Chapel at Harvard University, puts it this way. He says, the resurrection is God's way of getting our attention, God's way of getting us to look, to listen, to live. He says, there's nothing subtle or clever or cute about Easter. This is not a gradual, the darkness gives way to dawn. No, no, no. He says, God begins Easter with an earthquake. The ground is shifting. Something dramatic is happening. I want you to go into that text with me again that Carissa just read for us so beautifully a couple minutes ago. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, nothing subtle or clever about that. His clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. The Roman centurions who were there, who were supposed to be guarding the tomb of Jesus, they end up paralyzed with fear. Oh my gosh, what has just happened? But the angel says to the women, not to the guards, says to the women the same thing that God says to us whenever we are paralyzed by fear. Whenever we give in to our weakness, whenever we think that there is no way out. What does the angel say? Will you say it with me? Do not be afraid. If you count how many times that those words appear in Scripture in so many forms, it's about 150 times. Do not be afraid, because I will be with you, is the message all the time. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but guess what? Jesus got woke. He is not here, for he has been raised. He just like he said he would, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, because once Jesus is woke and once the women are woke up to that new reality, they can't just sit there, right? They've got to go do something about it. They've got to respond to it. Go quickly, tell his disciples. You know, the ones who had fallen asleep the night before. You know, the ones who are still hunkered down while only the women are brave enough to come on that Easter morning. Go tell those cowering disciples that Jesus Christ got woke. And so they left the tomb quickly with fear and with great joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. What good news to know Jesus got woke. And Easter is our wake-up call, too. As a matter of fact, once you start looking for signs of resurrection, once you start looking for signs of getting awakened to God's new reality in the world, you see it everywhere. You don't have to look hard. You don't have to look far away. It doesn't just come in the form of a floating angel. It might look like this. A whole mall full of young students marching for their lives, and their teachers and their parents and their allies standing by them. 11-year-old Naomi from Alexandria, Virginia, who led a walkout in her elementary school. Emma Rodriguez, one of the survivors of the Parkland shooting, whose eloquence came not in her words when she spoke on the National Mall, but her silence, the 4 minutes of silence that she kept, 4 minutes that it took for that terrible episode to break into that school, into that day, into our consciousness. And her tears and her silence spoke volumes. Or you might recognize this young lady, the granddaughter of Martin Luther King Jr., little Yolanda Renee King, who at age 9 says, "My grandfather had a dream that his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I have a dream that enough is enough." And when a 9-year-old prophet stands up and says that, when the youth wake up and get woke, we ought to pay attention. God is stirring things up. God is doing that since the resurrection, and God continues to do that. Sam Wells is a vicar in England, pastor at a Church of England, a rather famous one, St. Martin's in the Fields. He was invited by BBC Radio, BBC 4, every day has a little program. It's called Thought for the Day. It's 2.5 minutes of someone, usually a pastor, sometimes a theologian. I can't imagine this happening here. But someone commenting on just the news of the day and how does the gospel and how does the church have anything to say to this? So it's quite an honor to be invited for that. And he had his week where he was going on every day. And he got to later in the week on a Friday, and he got back to his office, and he got a phone call from a former parishioner of his. He says, "Sam, I can't believe you picked up." And it turns out that he had been in his church 25 years ago. And they caught up, and they caught up about their family and the stories, and Sam finally said, "I've got to go. I've got another appointment coming in," and they hung up the phone, and the phone rang almost immediately, and the firefighter said, "Oh, I almost forgot to tell you why I called you. When I heard your voice on the radio, it made me think I owe you a confession." Kind of scary words for a pastor after all those years. What kind of confession? He says, "Do you remember that Easter early on in your ministry when you 2 weeks before Easter, you gave us 3 nails. Everyone was to take 3 nails with them, and then on Easter Sunday, bring them back and put them in the font to remember that the crucifixion is not the final word, but new life in Christ is." He said, "I've got a confession to make. I never brought those nails back." He says, "No, instead, I took those nails, and I sewed them each into my overalls, my firefighter's overalls, and one was there, the largest one, I sewed in, I called it faith, and the next one, which was kind of rusty, I sewed in right next to it, and I called it courage, and then the third one, which was a little bit twisted and broken, I sewed it right next to the other two, and I called it hope." He said, "For the next 20 years of my career, whenever the fire call would come in, I would put my hand over my heart, and I'd feel those 3 nails. And I would pray to God that God would be with me, that I would have the strength and the courage that I needed, and that I would come back to live another day." Now, the preacher, Sam, was overwhelmed by this. What do you do when someone tells you a story like this? Something, some crazy thing you did in a church 25 years ago, and it took. He said, "Here I thought I was the one being called to bring the gospel to the nation, and it turns out that this man, my former parishioner, was living the gospel for the last 20 years more faithfully, more courageously, more hopefully than I could ever do." And he says that Jesus donned the overalls of our flesh, and though we were hard as nails, painstakingly sewed us right into his heart that we might be close to him, be safe around him, and dwell with him forever. He said, "My parishioner taught me about what it means to be woke, to be alive to a living Jesus in the world, to know that Jesus goes not just ahead of you to Galilee, but Jesus goes ahead of you wherever you may be headed. Jesus goes with you," and to live with that reality. That firefighter was woke. Hannah Rosen's mom got woke too. Hannah Rosen hosts a podcast that's called Invisibilia. Anybody listen to that? One of my favorite podcasts. I'll have a link on the website this week to it. I'd encourage you. Great stories there. And she recently told the story about her 74-year-old mom, Miriam. Now, Miriam sent her a text one day that sort of rocked Hannah's world. She didn't know what to do with it. It looked like this. It had a picture of somebody skydiving, thumbs up, and it just said Skydive Philadelphia with one word attached to it. Interested? She said, now you have to understand my mom. My mom is like the least adventurous person you could ever imagine. She doesn't ride bikes. She doesn't go jogging. She doesn't even try new restaurants. Like the most adventurous thing my mom had ever done before this whole airplane thing was like forget to put her heating pad on at night. She said she came to understand why this was important to her mom. She tried to get out of it first. She tried to call her brother and said, will you go with mom and do this? And the brother said, nope, it's all you. So mother and daughter started preparing for this. And what she discovered was this was an important rite of passage for her mom because a year before Eli, Miriam's husband, had died. And at that point, Miriam's life had just gotten stuck. She was stuck and lost in her grief, much like the women were lost in that grief on that first Easter morning. She was paralyzed by that. She couldn't eat. She couldn't go to the same places that they had gone to together. Her life had just been put on hold, and she was just having trouble getting one foot in front of the other. She was totally stuck. And then she finally said, one day I had a reversal. One day she got woke. She literally woke up one day and she said, you know, if the roles had been reversed and if I had died and Eli had lived, I know that he would have gone on living. He would have gone on visiting with our grandchildren. He would have stayed connected to friends. He would continue to engage with the world. He would go on living and he would want me to do the same thing too. And so she wanted to go skydiving to sort of have one last sort of blessing from her husband. Her husband had jumped out of airplanes in the war. And so she wanted to get up in the sky as close as she could get. And she sewed these sweatshirts with the letter Eli. His name is Eli, which if you know anything about your Hebrew, it means up and ascending to high, like a word for God. She wanted to have a moment of renewal of vows, if you will, a time of sacred blessing, to say goodbye to her husband so she could move on with her life. And Hannah describes the scene. She said she saw her mom sitting by the edge of the plane getting ready for her jump, and she could see her. All she was saying was, I love you, Eli. I'll be doing it for you. I feel you. I really do. And then she jumped, and she didn't look back. She jumped, and she didn't look back. She got woke. She woke up to the rest of her life and the possibility of new life even after death. We've been through a series all through Lent, these four-letter words. We've been following them from Ash Wednesday all the way up to Easter Sunday. We've been resting and telling and caring, all these words. I've been teaching a photography class, too, during Lent. Had a great time. One of the assignments I've been giving my class is to go out and photograph these words, however you see them, however you feel them. So for Rise, these were some of the photographs that came in. Yeah. The shoots coming up through the ground. That's one thing I'm not doing. And here is my favorite one. Came from Beth Dietrich. Are you still sitting up there? Beth Dietrich teaches English as a second language to people through Anne Arundel Community College. And she teaches to a lot of people who are immigrants and who have come here and really don't know much English at all. And she's been doing it for a lot of years in a lot of locations. And this is her class. Beth, where are some of those people from? And then you've got others in the class that weren't even there, you told me. Yeah, and others from Vietnam and from Haiti and all over the world. And so what I loved about this photo, she learned a new technique, how to overlay these two photos. But she also, I love her passion and what she's doing. She is living resurrection in the world, offering new life and new hope for these folks so they can get woke to the possibilities that lie before them. And she took these two songs, Rise Up and Stand Up for Something by Andra Day. And she used those songs so they could talk about what it means to live with promise and possibility in their lives. And I want you to hear just a little bit of Rise Up as we get ready to close.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I rise up, I rise like the day. I rise up, I rise unafraid. I rise up, and I do it a thousand times again. And I rise up, I like the waves. I rise up, in spite of the ache. I rise up, and I do it a thousand.
If you're tired of riding on that merry-go-round and you want new life, Easter is the day to rise up. Easter is the day to claim your new possibilities, whether it's jumping out of a plane and saying goodbye to one chapter and hello to another, whether it's teaching immigrants to speak English, whether it's speaking out like these young people are doing for justice and a different kind of world. Whether it is wearing on your chest the awareness every day with faith and courage and hope that Jesus, the living Jesus, goes with you. That's what it means to rise up, to wake up, to get woke. Now, a couple years ago, actually many years ago, some 20-some years ago, I had like the preacher's nightmare Easter. It was Easter Sunday, the day after daylight savings. You know where this is going? And I overslept for the sunrise service. I got a phone call from my colleague. The service was supposed to start at 6:30. I got a phone call at 6:15. I was still sound asleep. I had been careful to set my alarm the night before to 5 o'clock p.m. I'd set the clock for it, but I had set it to p.m. So I had this call. I jumped in the shower. I only lived about a mile from the church. I was there before the service began. But I took a little bit of ribbing for that, as you might imagine. So you know, of course, what I had to do the next year when I was in charge of the sunrise service. I came to the church early that year, and I hid in my office, and I made it look like I was late. And they started the service without me, and then when it came time to preach the sermon, I came in my bathrobe. And I preached the sermon about the danger of sleeping through Easter. The danger of sleeping through Easter. Friends, we have heard this story of resurrection so many times, it can become so familiar that the danger of Easter is that we might sleep through it. But friends, this is no day for sleeping. This is a day when Jesus has risen. This is a day when we are called to rise with Jesus. This is a day, friends, to get woke and stay woke. Thanks be to God. Amen.